Everybody good this morning? Everybody good this morning?
Yes.
All right, good, good. Go ahead and turn into 1 Peter this morning. Excited about today's word and where it takes us. I'm going to move this before I make it on YouTube, tripping over that. And having like a million hits or something, watching pastors fall or something like that. All right, 1 Peter chapter 1, that's where we'll be today. As we get started, I kind of want to recap because I really feel like today we close out chapter 1 and really it just kind of piggybacks off of each other. I've said this before and I'll say it again as we read some of these letters and we look in Scripture. We have to keep in context and remember that Peter is this guy that is writing this one long letter, right? Chapter and verse has been added later for us to benefit and study. But Peter really was passing this on to the church of the dispersed, these people scattered for their faith in the way, Jesus Christ, persecuted for that, even to the point some of death, to the point of leaving family, to the point of leaving jobs, to the point of leaving the familiarity of everything in life. And so Peter sends this letter to be passed on to read in this one long section, right? For time's sake, we don't want to have a study, a series called True Grace, and sit here one Sunday and read the whole letter and go verse by verse. That would take, you know, hours for us to dissect everything that is in this one letter. But that's the way Peter wrote it. And so people, as they pass this by, are reading this free-flowing letter, if you will. And really heading into today, where we're at, it kind of just caps off this chapter one, this section, if you will, really leading into this beautiful place of chapter two that we'll start at next week. But really what I want to take right here, in this section that we've seen already, Peter has really painted this amazing picture. And really, he has covered a lot of ground just in these few verses that we've read. And so I want you to just kind of take your word. I know a lot of times I'll recap, but I want you to actually scan over things with me as we go and just kind of hit some of the high points that I believe takes us to where we need to be today, especially if you haven't been here for this. It'll kind of give you a heads up on what's going on. Look at verse 3. I want us to start here, and this is why we come to a place like we do on a Sunday morning as a community, as a group of people gathered together singing praises to this person named Jesus, right? Our God and Savior named Jesus, because here's the deal. Look at verse 3. God calls us to be born again. Now, I want you just to stop right there and understand, and Andre prayed this just a second ago, there is absolutely nothing on this earth that you can do to earn salvation, right? I know that's an elementary point, but if you have nothing to praise about this morning, right? If you come to a song like 10,000 Reasons and you're like, I don't really have a reason this morning, I want you just to stop and camp out on the thought this morning that God is the one who caused your salvation. If you've come to faith in Jesus Christ, it's Him being your Lord and Savior, there was a moment in your life, your physical life, where you were dead in your trespasses, dead in your sin, and the Holy Spirit gave birth, right? Called you to life, and you accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior and repenting and turning away from sin and self and turning to a Savior. So God caused us to be born again. Anyone you want to give an amen on that one? Right? And then look at this. It continues on and it talks about an inheritance. Now I want you to understand this point. If God is the one who has caused us to be alive, God is the one who has caused us to have a relationship with Him, right there, that's enough. Right? We don't deserve that, but He has caused us to have a relationship. But not only from there, He gives us an inheritance. I'm about to dance up here this morning, right? I can't dance. You don't want to see that. But I'm excited this morning that God has given us an inheritance. But not only an inheritance, listen to what He says about this inheritance. It's imperishable, undefiled, unfading, and reserved. It's a lasting inheritance. Guys, I want you just to paint yourself in this picture of this beautiful story called the gospel. Here is what you did to deserve an inheritance. You nailed God's one and only Son to a cross. Now, I just want you to picture yourself in a reading of a will, in a moment where a loved one has passed and they are reading, this is what I want this to go to. This is what I want my inheritance to go to. This is who I want this. And there being someone there who actually murdered you because of your sins. and him saying his inheritance will be lasting, right? It will be unfading. It will be reserved for him. I've got it under control. This is an amazing story that sometimes we just brush over as the gospel is Jesus died for my sins, great, grand, wonderful. This is an amazing story, imperishable, undefiled, unfading, and reserved. Look at verse 5. It says, who by God's power are being guarded. Listen to this. Your inheritance this morning is not guarded by Wall Street. It's not guarded by the government. Amen. It's not guarded by human hands. It's not guarded based on your own works or merit. It is guarded by the power and authority of God. Your salvation, if you know Him, is secure this morning. It's secure. I'm searching my life and I understand the things that I do. I understand how I work. I understand how wicked and deceitful my heart can be. But this morning, my salvation is secure, not guarded based on my own works or my own hand. It is a lasting inheritance that is there by God's power alone. That's amen. Philip, where you at, brother? That's praise the Lord stuff, man. Amen. All right. Verse 7. Lasting compared to some of the other things that are mentioned in here that are perishable. Not only in verse 7, but in other places you'll see it listed as perishable. Right? There's things mentioned about that we were bought with a price and not by perishable things, not by gold and silver. Things that people put so much emphasis on this place, but they cannot take it with them. The great theologian George Strait has told us that you cannot have a U-Haul behind a hearse. Right? There's never been a hearse with a luggage rack. George Strait's done told us. And if George Strait's, I'm just kidding. Don't send me emails about George Strait. He's not a theologian. He's a country music singer. But he's told us, right? Never seen a hearse with a luggage rack. It's a true thought. Right? And in this, though we may face trial and trouble, listen to this. Verse 9 talks about the outcome. If you know Him, here's what your outcome is. The salvation of your soul. That's what the outcome of this great and grand picture of the gospel. The salvation of your soul. And so verse 13 really is going to head us in to kind of where we head today, because it begins this four command finish of chapter 1. Three we've already seen. I just want to kind of scan over these real quickly. Number 1, verse 13, fix your hope completely. Pageants will remember this. This was the day we did baby dedication. I told them, if there's any way that you're going to be just this lasting influence for Cora, right? If you're going to be these godly parents, then you have to fix your hope completely on God, right? It can't be a halfway kind of faith. You've got to go in full force. It's got to be this full hope completely on our God. Verse 15, we also saw this. Be holy yourselves. This was another command. God is holy, so you be holy. And then last week we saw this in verse 17, conduct yourselves in fear. And today we'll see the fourth command finishing chapter 1. Read with me, starting at verse 22. It says, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall. But the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. Will you pray with me this morning? Father, we just ask that you speak this morning. Your word is living and breathing and active, and we believe it's God-breathed, inspired by you, not just for the church of the dispersion, not just for in Peter's day, but God in our day as well, knowing that we would be part of the church that reads this letter. The truths still remain the same, and quite honestly, the persecution remains the same, if not yet here at home, abroad, in the global church. But Father, persecution is coming. I believe that. I believe we see signs of that. We see it more and more, even in our own land. And so, Father, we pray that as Peter, as one inspired by you, by the Holy Spirit, writes encouragement, challenge to those who are persecuted for their belief in you. Father, that we could glean the same things and we could stand strong on truth, not just by happenstance or a hope that's out there, but that we could focus on you and that we could stand strong and be a witness for you in the days to come. We love you, and we pray that you speak. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, look at this morning. Right here, your fourth commandment of kind of this closing of the chapter, it starts here right away in verse 22. And to be honest, looking at this, it's a pretty tough commandment. Here's what it says. Love one another earnestly. Earnestly. Isn't that just a fun word to say? Say it with me. Earnestly.
Earnestly.
The word earnestly means this, a serious intent. Right? That our intent as believers, even those who are persecuted, even when trial comes, that there is a serious intent to display brotherly love. I'll be honest, just from a real practical standpoint, with the persecution, with the things going on that are going, when Peter is writing this, probably there is nothing more encouraging to these people than knowing that, hey, you are not alone. You've got somebody to handle this with you. And so I challenge you to understand that today, that if you're a part of this community, and we always hope to do a better job of this, if you are going through the muck and the mud of life, that you are not alone, right? To love one another earnestly with this brotherly love. And what a task this is that he gives us, because in all honesty, we are prideful people with a sinful nature, consumed with self, that live in a world that tell us to look out for number one. And so really, everything with inside of you is going to have to just take a back seat, a humble back seat, if you are to love one another earnestly with a brotherly love. It means that you, my friend, are going to have to take a back seat to your wants and your desires. Toughest thing in the world to do. Right? We look in the first pages of the Bible and we see Adam and Eve have this desire to be knowledgeable and be like God and all these things. And that's what Satan goes to in the very beginning. He attacks the pride of people, and his tricks are old and it's silly. But the silliest thing about it is that we still fall for it. I do on a day. Right? It's that pride, it's that me monster that rears its ugly head. It's the self that comes about. But we are to love one another earnestly. Again, meaning a sincere intent. And oh, by the way, Peter adds this little caveat nugget. From a pure heart. Let's be honest, I think this is a safe place this morning. If you would just say you have a pure heart this morning, and I was to ask for a poll, I would bet most of us would say, man, I know me. It's not pure in there. Right? There's things in my life that are not necessarily pure right now. I just want to remind you and take heart in this. When you read something like this in Scripture, Scripture never calls you to be perfect. It doesn't. Right? The reason it doesn't is because there was this need for Jesus. Jesus was the perfect one who died in your place. But he does call us, like he did in the passage where it's saying, be holy, for I am holy, to seek after those things and to do so earnestly with this sincere intent. Your sincere intent ought to be every day to have this pure heart, to clean out the junk that rises to the top, the little junk room in your heart that maybe even you think no one knows about, to clean it out, to organize it, to get it gone, right? To have a yard sale, to burn it, to get rid of it, and say, man, I only want Jesus to flow through my heart. And so he says, from a pure heart. I just want to stop right there and ask a question. Aren't you glad that we don't have to do that on our own strength? So I want to tell you, just be completely real with you, completely honest. My flesh rears its ugly head every single day in my life. And if I was called to love you with a brotherly love on my own from a pure heart, it's not going to happen. Just won't. It won't happen from you to me. It's got to come from the Holy Spirit of God that lives in those of us who have a relationship with God. Mind you, that's who Peter's writing to. People who have a relationship with God. The church, not because of their membership, but because of their allegiance to Jesus Christ. Verse 22 also gives us the key, if not on our own strength, of how we do that. Listen to how it starts out. Verse 22. Having purified your souls. Now here's the deal. You cannot purify your soul with perishable things. It has to be something that lasts. It has to be something that's imperishable, undefiled, unfading, and reserved for you. Hello? Anybody remember what that is? That's the gospel. right? That is the saving faith of Jesus Christ. It is Jesus and His gospel. And if you want the key to living a purified life, a pure heart, of purifying our souls, it has to come from something that's inside of you. It can't be of you. Because, my friend, you are wicked and you are sinful. Your righteousness is like filthy garments. We know this. We know the verses that talks about that. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, earning our wages, which was death, except that while we were yet sinners, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Amen? And so if we're going to do this, if we're going to have a brotherly love in this community for one another and beyond, by the way, it's a little easier. Like, I love everybody in this room. I'm looking at you. I know everybody in this room. I don't think we have a guest that I haven't met today. I love everyone in this room. It's easy for me to love you in a brotherly love. Now, that don't mean I'll be perfect. But what's harder is to go to someone you don't know and have a brotherly love. But that's what this place is for. That's what we're called here for, is to model that brotherly love. And to be honest, it's not so people come in here and have this warm, ooey-gooey feeling and say, man, the church at Southside is the bee's knees. I love the church at Southside. That's great. And man, what's your Twitter handle so I can tweet? I love these people. That's not the end-all goal. The end-all goal is to them to say, why did you love me when you didn't know me? Why did you love me when I was laying in a ditch kicking my legs and couldn't go? Why did you do those things? My friend, it's because of Jesus. And so that they can make much of Jesus and say, I know those group of people and how they've been assembled. I'm going to tell you, if they did something nice to me, if they did something kind to me, it was because of Jesus and His gospel. And here he continues. Look at this in verse 23. If we want to know, again, purifying our souls and having a pure heart, listen to this. Here Peter gives the key. Since you have been born again. I just want to just stop here for a second because I know sometimes from this heart sometimes that goes all evangelist sometimes and you feel like we've been there, done that. I got the t-shirt, right? I'm a gospel. Brandon, I'm not picking on you. We talked about this the other day. Totally understood where he was coming from. But we talked about this, of preaching the gospel to save people. Can I just be honest? One, we need to be reminded of that. Right? There's a great quote, and I can't give credit to who it was. Just know it's from someone smarter than me that talked about that he had to preach the gospel to himself every day. And really the benefit of that, of understanding the magnitude of what happened. Do you guys understand that a God that is seated on a throne right now in heaven with beings that are so wickedly described that we can't even comprehend what Isaiah and John are talking about and saying over and over and over, holy, 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 came and died in your place? He say, man, that's old news. I heard that since I've been in kindergarten. Wake up. Listen to it with fresh eyes. Your God died in your place. Right? This lasting inheritance. You have been born again. And so what Peter is telling us here, that if you want to live in a pure heart, you want to love earnestly with a brotherly love, you cannot do it in your firstborn self. Hello? And what we try to do somehow as the church is we say this, I've been born again, I've been washed in the blood, 10,000 reasons, yes, all of those things, but we live life in the firstborn self. If I'm honest with really this, and I hate to say this because the amazing thing really about births and all this, it's amazing to me. I mean, Whitney right now, my goodness, has a human being inside of her. That's an amazing thing, right? I mean, that's crazy. Really, she has a little child inside of her right now, and it amazes me. But I want you to understand, and not to diminish the miracle of that and what that is and how that all works. It's, first off, to look at and see that there's not intelligent design. You've got to be just a nut job, right? I mean, God is at work in that, in creation itself, and how that happens. Right? And you ladies who have had a baby, you understand that. And you guys who have been there when ladies have a baby, my word, right? All the things that happen, right? It's an amazing time. It's a scary time, but it's amazing. We see all that. But here, if it just ends there in our world, listen to this. This is why we exist. Because if it just ends there with the birth, and the first birth is all that ever happens, that person is destined for a devil's hell. We exist to tell people about this gospel, about this, this thing that lasts, that lasts forever, this second birth, this idea of being born again. And it's not new that that sounds weird. We see it in Scripture, right? Of people questioning, how can I be born again? Am I to climb back into my mother's womb? How does that happen? It's a spiritual rebirth. The ones of us dead in our sins, all of us dead in our sins, called to live life through the Holy Spirit and be born again. Now, I just want to tell you, as amazing as the first birth is, the second birth is even more amazing. And I just have to venture out and use logic in this, that if God has made us be born again, called us to life out of our sin, and called us out of death, and brought us to life, He has allowed us to be born again, not to go back to the first way of life. But man, I don't know about you, I struggle with that. I struggle living in this world that puts so much emphasis on everything else, and me knowing that I'm to have a pure heart. And sometimes, if I'm honest, having a pure heart means that you get run over in this firstborn kind of world. Right? You just have to. You have to live life in this second birth, this pure heart that He's talking about. And to do that, you must be born again. I think some of the reason that many in the church today come into a setting like this and sit there and struggle so much when they hear a pastor talk about, man, you're to be holy, you're to have a pure heart, you're to love one another with a brotherly love, is they're sitting there and they don't understand because they don't have the Holy Spirit and they're not believers and they can't understand spiritual things. They're sitting there in their flesh thinking, how in the world am I going to look out and love Gary more than I do myself? How am I going to love Jimmy more than I love myself? How am I going to love Andre more than I love myself? I'm just rotten to the core. And they're sitting there in their own strength. And let me just assure you, take comfort in one fact to that. You can't do it on your own. You have to be born again. This morning, if you sit here and you say, I got that, been there, done that, got the t-shirt, got my VBS gold star from the day I prayed that prayer, I know it's real, I know I'm saved, then tell other people the same thing. You need to be born again. Now, we can sit and argue semantics about that. Of what does that look like? How does I do that? Don't be annoying by it. Nobody wants an annoying person that's sitting a track on their desk every single day of the week. Love people. Here's a clue, or here's a thought. Earnestly and brotherly love, right? To do what Scripture says from a pure heart, love people and point them to that there's something different inside of you. Be holy because your God is holy, as obedient children, as He talked about earlier, right? Verse 23, born again reminds us of not of perishable, but of imperishable seed, reminding us that this will last, all right? So not only being born again, but a hope and a pure heart, the only way it's going to happen is this. Listen to this. He tells us that you're born not of perishable seed, verse 23, but of imperishable. And here's what He says. Through the living and abiding Word of God. I want you to, if you have a sword with you this morning, I want you to take it. I want you to hold it. Your Bible. I want you to hold it up just a second. This is not to embarrass you. Hold it down if you're embarrassed about that. And you don't have one, that's fine. If you've got a phone that's got it on there, you can hold that. I want you to know, many, many people have tried their best to destroy this book. I mean, just read history, right? Look and see. You can set them down, or you can keep holding them up. I don't care. It'd be fun to watch, see who can hold it the longest. Right? But you get to this and you say, man, many people have just tried to destroy this. This is the Word of God, living, breathing Word of God that He desired for us to have. One, in order to know Him and to make Him known. Okay? And so through this, if we say with a pure heart and loving one another with brotherly love, the first key is being born again. And it says not a perishable seed, but imperishable, but also through the living and abiding Word God. This right here is key. I want to tell you, and we get to a passage like this and we say, man, Peter is telling us that if I want to have a pure heart, if I want to love people earnestly with a brotherly love, right, and do it from a sincere heart and all of these things, that I've got to do that by being born again. And the other way is right here. And what many of us may find ourselves in a struggle right now is that we've got the born again part, right? We feel like we have that relationship, but yet the only time we kind of crack that baby open is on a Sunday morning.
Now, I don't know about you, but if Peter is challenging us, inspired by God, telling us that if you're to have a pure heart, if you're to live earnestly with a brotherly love, that the way to do that is to be born again and through the Word of God. Here's just a step out. We might need to be filling us, ourselves, with a steady diet of the Word of God. So that's what he's challenging us here, and here's why he does it. He quotes Isaiah 40, verses 6 and 8. Listen to what he says here, continuing in verse 24. All flesh is like grass, and its glory like the flower of the grass. The grass withers, the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. Forever. Beckett, should we do it? Sandlot. What did he say?
Forever.
That's right. That's the word of the Lord. Right? I mean, that this really is, listen to me, everything in life that people hold dear right now. Look, this is going to sound weird, all right? I'm a car selling preacher. Don't think I haven't caught grief over that over the years, right? I have been introduced at and speaking before, hey, this is a used car. You do not understand how you have to try to win over a room after you've been introduced a car selling preacher. It's like being a lawyer preacher or something like that, right? Tons of jokes could be made about that. But here's the thing. So I will say this as a car guy. I love cars, right? I have an unhealthy obsession for cars. I love classic cars. I love newfangled car. I love cars. I just love them, right? They make noises and they're just, you know, it's just awesome, right? Like you just mash the gas and you just hear that engine. It's just awesome, right? Oh, it's just awesome. Those cars will rust and they will fade away, right? I love houses. We were talking, me and Michael was talking about like how redoing houses and all that stuff. I like having a nice place to live. I like fixing my place up. I like my wife likes working in the yard. I don't like that, but I see the benefits of it and all of those things. That stuff will fade away, right? That home one day, even if I pass it on to my kids, that's where we wind up staying, and we pass it on to our kids, they're going to pass away one day and pass it on to someone. That title, that deed is going to be in someone else's name. It will fade away, and one day we'll just be completely gone. But this right here will be forever. And so I challenge you, if that's the case, and you say, man, that's so elementary, I get that, and I understand that God's forever. But if we get that, then why do our lives not resemble that? Because if that's the case, then everything that we do should be funneled through this book, through the Word of God. Right? And it seems like at times the church, not just the church at Southside, but all the church, are chasing after every other thing when really it all comes down to the Word of God and people being born again, loving God and then loving people. Right? And so this will last forever. The living and abiding Word of God. Listen to me. I love a great book. Don't read nearly as much as I should. I have read probably 10 books on the life of Johnny Cash. That's sad, but that's a true statement. I've read books on every subject that you could think about. Some interesting, some I get to the end and say, why did I waste my time doing that, right? We love books, but every book I have read besides this one is a dead book. This is living, right? Don't believe me. You read a passage today that you read 6 years ago, and you got a note and say, man, God really spoke to me this. It doesn't change the meaning of what it is, but you read it today and you're like, man, God, I really feel this, right? Not changing the context, not changing what it is, but God, you speak to me through your Holy Spirit because this word is living and will last forever. The word, it's imperishable and lasting. Continues on and tells us that the word will be forever. All right, verse 25, let's finish this up. It says, the word of the Lord remains forever, and this word is the good news that was preached to you. Peter is reminding them, don't lose heart. Don't lose faith. What you're hearing is the good news. Jesus came. He died. He took your place, and you're spreading that message to other people. You see, an amazing thing about God is really, and I want you to keep this in mind in your life, God takes negatives and turns them into positives. I really sounded like Joel Osteen right there, and I didn't intend to. He uses the word positive a lot. But I just want to take you to this and think about this. In your mind, go back to the book of Acts. Okay? You remember a statement in the book of Acts in the very, very beginning of it? And it says that a man by the name of Saul says he ravaged the church. That's a pretty intense word, right? That this man named Saul, that would later become Paul, ravaged the church. All right? And see, here's what Saul meant to just destroy this kind of the way, right? This new thing, the following the way, Jesus Christ and all these things. And as he did that, and the people scattered, and as they did that here, and they dispersed, if you will, these people, when they were dispersed, weren't quiet. And so what the enemy wanted to use, what Nero wanted to use, what other persecutors of the church wanted to use to scatter these people, right, really did this effect of you and I sitting here today. It didn't just stay this little Jerusalem religion. It spread, and it spread all over the world, and it spread like wildfire because it is living, and it is the truth, and this is the good news that was preached to you. Peter is reminding them that. Also encouraging them that as you hear this, don't keep this good news to yourself. Peter's speaking to people that know and understand the Great Commission, meaning that were even eyewitnesses that heard and saw Jesus saying, go and tell. Which, by the way, the last thing he ever told to his living disciples in that moment, the last thing he ever said when he saw them, could have said anything, but he told them, go and tell. I want to close with this thought from chapter 1. I want you just to kind of think about this just a second. You can scan back if you'd like to. Verse 23, we read this today. But think about this thought. I want you just to see if you see a pattern here. And I think it really speaks to what we could close with chapter 1. Verse 23, born again of imperishable seed. Look at verse 4. Our inheritance is not perishable. Verse 7, our faith is not perishable. Verses 18 and 19, our ransom is not perishable. And then we close in verse 23, God's word is not perishable. The point is really there is more to life than the here and now. The point of this all, I believe, with the idea of Peter saying over and over to a people who were worried, to a people who were no doubt scared, to a people who were no doubt thinking, what are we going to do? We need guidance. Where do we go from here? He is reminding them that your momentary trials, your momentary afflictions, right? That albeit they are serious, albeit they're tough, albeit it has you down, albeit it has you scattered, and all of these things, what you are doing matters because everything about this is lasting. Right? Nothing that is going on in this place, in this time, right now, is even going to matter. Right? In the grand scheme of things, what you're feeling now, what your trouble is, the only thing that's going to count is what you do that's lasting. And he tells them, you are born again of imperishable seed. Your inheritance is not perishable. Your faith is not perishable. Your ransom, the price that was paid for you, will never go away. It is not perishable. God's word is not perishable. What you are doing is lasting. Everything else is, like James said, life just like a vapor. Right? If I die with 400 fancy cars, it don't matter. It's what I did for Christ that counts. It's what I did that lasts. Hello, that will last, right? The thing that I do for Christ. So really when it all boils down to the end of this chapter 1, 1 Peter telling the people here about being scattered and in persecution, that really the funnel that everything in life needs to go through is Jesus, that it's all about Him. He is all that matters. So if you want it to last, make it be something that lasts, right? I just want to challenge you this morning before we close. If you will, just bow your head and close your eyes. Just a second, just to think on these things. Lot to take in, I know, but I just want to hit on those points again, right? That all of these things Peter said, not perishable, not perishable, not perishable, this will last. This will last. So one, I want you just in the moment, just in your seat, I want you to worship in the fact that what you're doing for Christ matters. It counts. It lasts. Because if we're honest with each other, in a world that does not put very much emphasis on Christ at all, in fact, it demeans it, it makes fun of it, it persecutes it, it can seem like, man, am I doing anything that matters? doing it for Christ, it does. It'll last. It'll stand the test of time. It'll last. What we do for Him matters. What we do for Him matters. So I challenge you to keep the faith, to keep doing what you're doing, but then also challenge for some self-evaluation. Am I really living for the things that matter? Or am I chasing things that will fade away? Am I chasing things that are perishable? Just ask yourself those questions. As you do, I'd love to pray. Father, as we self-examine, as we say, man, the things that we're doing for Christ, let's keep it up. For the things that maybe we're doing for self and self alone and just maybe self-absorbed, Father, help us to re-examine those things. And in all honesty, this may sound wishy-washy, but at that point, maybe some of the things we're doing for self, we could stop and make an about face and do the exact same thing, but make it count, make it for Christ. And so for whatever that means, I feel led to say that this morning. And so, Father, just guide us in that. And not just as individuals, but as a body. We want to be a place that loves earnestly with a brotherly love, one that is sincere in our intent, that we love people. And Father, I believe you've given us the tools to do that. It's your gospel that leads us. It's your gospel that motivates us to share with others. Our hope is that all in this place this morning are born again, that it's not just the first birth that has happened, but that the second birth is the most important. That they'd be born again. If not, what a wonderful day for a rebirth today. And so I pray if there's someone in here that needs that, that they would not leave this place without doing business with you. Father, for those of us who have, again, I pray that would mark us, that it would be our marching orders, be the thing that really drives us, that really all the things that are imperishable, that's what we would go after, that we would go for the things that will last. And that will be our life. That's what I hope to do. That's what I hope to model. God, help me where I fail. God, help me where I've not been a good example in that. I pray that you just give us grace and mercy when we fail, and that you just help us in the future. Father, I love my brothers and sisters. I thank you for them and just ask God, that you take today's word and we just trust you at your word, that your word does not return void. And so I pray that you've spoken. I pray that people have listened. I pray that we've all been challenged, encouraged, convicted, wherever you've seen fit. We love you, and we pray and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Just a couple of things.